Genesis 32. I'd like to begin by reading the text, verses 24 through 32. Please listen carefully. This is God's word. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him unto daybreak. And when he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh. So the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him and said, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob named the place Peniel, for he said, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been preserved." Now the sun rose upon him just as he crossed over Penuel, and he was limping on his thigh. Therefore to this day the sons of Israel do not eat the sinew of the hip, which is on the socket of the thigh, because he touched the socket of Jacob's thigh in the sinew of the hip. So is the reading of God's word. May he bless this part of his word to our hearing this evening. I think we understand enough about life by this time to know that sometimes we need to wrestle or to fight or to struggle to get what we want. Sometimes we need to put a lot of effort into it. If you want to achieve anything worthwhile in life, it requires effort. You know, our president didn't become president by sitting in his chair or by simply wishing that he was president. He had to do a lot of hard work to get there. Beethoven and Mozart didn't become great composers by simply plunking away at the keys of their piano half-heartedly. They had to put their whole heart and soul into it to achieve it, even though they were greatly gifted men. George Whitefield didn't become the great evangelist that he was simply by sitting around waiting for some kind of a heavenly zap. He prayed and he fasted and he studied and he labored in his preaching to see souls come to Christ. Nothing worthwhile comes to us without any efforts. You know, we don't often think about it, but our salvation also required a great deal of effort. A great deal of effort on Jesus' part. It wasn't easy for him. But also it requires a great deal of effort on our part. Working, struggling, laboring, and wrestling are all a part of the Christian life. The road that leads to life is narrow, and it's not an easy one to walk on. It requires that we fight with ourselves, that we fight with our enemy, the devil, and that we fight with this world that he has control over. It's not an easy road. But obviously it's the only one that we want to walk because we know the end of the road is worth whatever we have to pay. Heaven is worth whatever it costs. Now our passage this evening deals with the subject of wrestling. Wrestling with God in prayer. We saw last week how the Lord protected Jacob as he was on his way back to the promised land. How the Lord sent his angels to guard him. How he gave him the wisdom to send messengers ahead to see what Esau's disposition was like. How he gave him wisdom also to send a gift to appease Esau before he should meet him so that Esau wouldn't be so angry. But the greatest protection that God gave to Jacob was to send him the spirit of supplication, the spirit of prayer, so that he would pray, so that he would plead God's promises, so that he would receive those blessings. Now this evening we will see that the Lord again graciously granted Jacob his spirit to wrestle with him in prayer so that he might prevail over him, so that he would be protected from Esau, who was in fact coming to meet him with 400 armed men ready to fight against him and to seek revenge against him. But he also gave him this spirit to wrestle with him in prayer, obviously, so that he could bring his Messiah through his loins. Now, through this, what I want us to see with regard to our own lives is not only, of course, the necessity that Jacob prevails so that Messiah can come so that we can be saved, but also how we ought to wrestle with the Lord in prayer. We need to learn that sometimes God will give to us the strength to wrestle with Him in prayer and to prevail with Him when it is His will to bless us. We mustn't forget that God is the one who gave Jacob the strength to wrestle with Him so that he might gain what God wanted to give him. Now, what I want us to look at this evening in this passage are really five things. First of all, the earnestness of Jacob's prayer. He wrestled with God. The duration of his prayer, that he wrestled with him from night until daybreak. The cost of his prayer, that it cost him something personally. He actually had an injury from his wrestling with God. The results of his prayer, he gained the blessing he was after. And the memorial of his prayer, there were things that were done to remind him and the Jews from then on of the great blessings which God gave to him. Now let's consider, first of all, the earnestness of Jacob's prayer. We read that after Jacob prepared his gift for Esau and sent them ahead of himself and his family, he then arose that same night and took his wives and his maids and his 11 children and sent them across the ford of the Jabbok River. He then sent over what was left, and then he was left alone. And then, of course, we read one of the strangest accounts that we have in Scripture. Moses writes, and a man wrestled with him. You know, it's interesting. We don't read anything about who this man is before this event or where it is that he came from, but only that he was there and that he was wrestling with Jacob. Now, as we read on further in this account, and as Jacob himself discovers, this man is no other than God himself, which is why Jacob names the place Peniel, which means the face of God. Now, most likely, this man was the Son of God before he had become a man, who took on this appearance that he might come to Jacob. Jacob must have believed that he needed to seek God's face more, that he needed to pray more because of his fear of Esau, and so he set his heart to seek after him. We know when it is that we haven't prayed enough, and when we are about to go into battle without the Lord's help, and at times like this, we know that we need more prayer. And the wise thing to do at those times is to get down on our knees and to pray and to wrestle with God until we receive that blessing, until we know God has heard us, until we know we are ready to face what it is we are to face. Well, that's what Jacob was doing. And as Jacob was praying, this messenger of God was sent to him. Now, the strange thing here is that in this case, unlike the many other examples we have where the angel of the Lord appears, usually when he appears, the people who see him meet him with great reverence and respect. They fall down on their faces. They're afraid because, you know, they might be killed because they're beholding the face of God. But yet not in this case. In this case, Jacob grabs hold of the man and begins to wrestle with him. That seems like a very unusual response. Now, I think we have to assume that Jacob at least knew that this man was sent from God, if he was not, in fact, an angel, because he kept asking him to bless him. And apparently this man didn't bless him right away, which is why Jacob grabbed onto him and wouldn't let go. But you see, the point is that he wrestled with God for a blessing. The blessing of God's protection. The blessing of His presence with him. The blessing of the fulfillment of the promise. Now, as I said earlier, the Christian life is often represented as a struggle, as a fight, as a race, even as a boxing match, all of which shows us that the Christian life requires a great deal of effort on our part. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:11 and 12 that our struggle is often against the spiritual forces of wickedness. And so he says, put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. He tells us that oftentimes the Christian life is a struggle against our own flesh, against our own sin. He tells us in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified." Now this Christian race is not running against one another. We're supposed to be pushing each other forward in the Christian race, not trying to get ahead of one another. This race is against ourselves. We need to defeat our flesh, wrestle with it until it's defeated, or at least until it's weak enough not to stumble us, and then continue to advance toward the finish line. But the path to heaven is also sometimes represented as a race, one that needs to be run with great patience and endurance. The author to the Hebrews writes in Hebrews 12:1, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Now this is all to say that the Christian life is not a bed of roses. It's not a path of ease. We don't simply sit down on the train that's headed for heaven. There's a great deal of struggle and effort on our part. And you see that struggle and effort also applies to prayer. I think we are shown in the Scriptures by way of precept and by way of example that it requires oftentimes a great deal of effort. Paul wrote to the Colossians in Colossians 4:2, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving." And also later on in that same chapter, he commends Epaphras to them because he was always laboring earnestly for them in his prayers, that they may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. I think this example of Jacob wrestling with the angel tells us that prayer requires a great deal of struggling and wrestling. If we are to overcome the enemy, if we are to gain victory over our flesh, if we are to progress in our way to heaven, and if we are to expect to be heard in heaven for the help that we need to do these things, we need to wrestle and strive with God in our prayers. And we must not give up until we have obtained what we are after. Jacob wrestled with the angel and he would not let go of him. He refused to let go of him until he blessed him. This is the same kind of earnestness that we ought to have in our prayers. Now this shows us something of the earnestness of Jacob's prayer and the kind of earnestness that we need to have in our prayers if we are to receive God's blessing. Second, let's look briefly at the duration of Jacob's prayer. We read again in verse 24, "Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak." You know, it was night when he began, and at sunrise he was still wrestling. And it's not because the angel would not let go of Jacob. It's because Jacob would not let go of the angel. The angel even reached out his hand and dislocated Jacob's thigh to get him to let go, and still he wouldn't release him. Then the angel said in verse 26, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." I'm afraid that oftentimes we don't have this kind of earnestness in our prayers today. I think oftentimes we think that perhaps God is not going to answer our prayers. And so when we offer prayer to God, we usually only give Him half-hearted prayer. We ask once or twice, if we ask at all. And when we see that God is not going to answer us right away, we give up. Now this shows us, I think, that we really don't trust that God is going to hear us or answer us as He promised that He would. But is this the way that it should be? Obviously not. Our Lord Jesus wants us also to persevere in prayer as long as it takes until He answers us. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus told His disciples the parable of the unjust judge. Remember, who would not answer the woman's or the widow's plea for justice unless or until she persisted to the point where he was finally so tired of her, he gave her what she wanted. The reason why Jesus told that parable to His disciples was that they also at all times ought to pray and not to lose heart. Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians 6:18, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." Now, Jacob did not just walk up to the angel and say, "Can I have a blessing?" The angel said, "Yes, here's the blessing," and walk away. That's not usually how it works. We usually have to persist. And Jacob prayed the whole night, and he wrestled the whole night with God in his prayers until he received the blessing he was after. Our Lord tells us that we also must persevere, show the same kind of endurance in our prayers if we are to be heard in heaven and receive what it is we are asking for. Now, Jacob was earnest in his prayers, and he continued to pray until he received the Lord's blessing. But we also mustn't forget that there was a cost to his prayer, and that's what we want to see thirdly. While he was wrestling with the angel reached out his hand and touched the socket of his thigh and dislocated it, which means that from that time on, Jacob had to limp. Now, you know, that's kind of strange, isn't it? It's not really clear why he did this or what it really meant. You know, things don't just happen in the Bible by chance, and things are not just included in the Bible because it's a nice piece of information and it just happened, but it has a purpose. What was the purpose? Well, one suggested that he dislocated Jacob's thigh to show him how the Messiah was to come into the world. He was to come forth from Jacob's loins through the act of procreation. And the idea here then would be that he touched that which was closest to that organ of procreation. Now, I suppose that that's possible, but I really don't think that that's what was going on here. It could also be to show us that when we pray and ask God for some great spiritual blessing, that there will be a cost involved with our prayer. Whenever we pray for something that's spiritually worthwhile and we get it, we need to realize that at the same time there is going to be a cost to us, some trial or tribulation. Our flesh may rear up within us. The world may launch an attack against us. The enemy may come and try to tempt us with a great temptation, but there will be something that comes our way. Generally, the Lord allows things like this to happen to humble us, to keep us from exalting ourselves. Remember, after the Lord gave Paul that great revelation, when he was lifted up into the third heaven and he saw things that were inexpressible, there weren't even words to describe what he had seen. In order that he might not exalt himself, he was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to keep him humble. You know, Spurgeon often wrote, or actually I should say he didn't often write, but he wrote in his book, Lectures to My Students, to warn his students who would go out into the ministry and would preach, that sometimes God will use you mightily, and He will preach a great sermon through you. But when that happens, beware of the next day, because God is going to send something upon you to humble you. And oftentimes that can happen. God doesn't want His ministers to become prideful, and so He humbles them in some way. Now, Paul asked the Lord several times to remove this thorn from him, but He answered, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness." And what was Paul's response to him? He said, "Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me." Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The reason why there is a cost to this great spiritual blessing is so that the servants of God will not exalt themselves, but rather remain humble. But this should remind us that there is a cost to prayer. When God prepares to give us a great blessing and then bestows it upon us, it will also cost us something that we need to be aware of and we need to be willing to pay. Jacob received what he was after, but he was also afflicted for it. When we pray for great things and receive them, we need to also be on the alert for the messengers of the Lord who will help us and keep us humble so that God can continue to be strong in our lives. Well, prayer is spiritual wrestling. It requires earnestness. It also requires that we continue in it until we have received what we've asked for. And there is a cost involved. Well, fourthly, let's consider the results of Jacob's prayer, the blessing itself. The angel blessed Jacob. He said, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and men and have prevailed." Now remember what the name Jacob means. It means the one who supplants, the one who strives, the heel catcher, the one who is trying to supplant his brother. Not exactly the most flattering name that a person could have. But the name Israel is quite different. It either means God strives, or he who strives with God, or one who strives with God and has prevailed so as to become a prince, or one who has power with God. He said, "Your name will be called Israel because Jacob wrestled with God in prayer and he prevailed. He received the blessing he wanted. He became a prince with God. He would not only receive the promised blessings of the covenant of Abraham, that for which he strove after his whole life." That's the reason why he was hanging on to his brother's heel when he was born, remember, is that he wanted that blessing. That's why he deceived his father, was because he wanted that blessing. Well, not only would he receive that, but he would also be a key figure in that covenant. The whole nation would be called by his name. And I believe that it's also stated here by the angel that since he had prevailed over God to receive this blessing, he at the same time would prevail and continue to prevail over man. In other words, Jacob got down on his knees to seek after God's blessing, to receive his promises so that Esau would not kill him. And now the Lord is telling him, "You have what you have sought for. You will prevail over man. Now you are safe from Esau." God would continue to watch over his promise until it was fulfilled. Now, I don't think I need to tell you that God has also made to us many wonderful promises in Scripture to bless us in many ways. And we need to realize that those promises that God gives to us flow from this same blessing, so that as Jacob here wrestles with the angel, and as he strives with him for that blessing, the blessing that he received becomes the means by which we receive the blessings of God. Because what he received, of course, was that reaffirmation of God that he would be the one through whom Messiah would come. And so through his striving, Messiah comes. And through Messiah's coming, all of God's promises have been given to us. And through Jesus Christ, when we ask for these promises, because they've been guaranteed by Christ, we will receive them. The Lord tells us that in Jesus Christ, all the promises of God are yes and amen. 2 Corinthians 1:20. But we will not receive what God has promised unless we are willing to strive with Him earnestly in prayer, unless we persevere in it until God answers, and unless we are willing to to pay the price. Remember, with great spiritual blessing comes great persecution. The more we are like Jesus Christ, the more the world's going to hate us. We have to be willing to do all these things to receive God's blessing. Well, we've seen the earnestness of Jacob's prayer, the duration of his prayer, the cost of his prayer, and the results of his prayer. Finally, let's consider just for a moment the memorial of his prayer. Now, the answer to this prayer was something that Jacob didn't want to forget. Nor did God want him to forget it. He wanted him to remember it. Now, after the angel blessed him, Jacob asked him his name, but he didn't tell him, probably because it was too difficult for Jacob to understand. You realize that God reveals himself through many different names, and not one of those names really comprehends the entirety of his perfections. And that's why God gives us several names. He reveals himself in several names, and I think that there probably isn't one name that we could understand to comprehend the greatness of who he is. But when Jacob heard the angel say this, he realized finally who it was that he was wrestling with. Not merely an angel, not merely a man of God, but God himself. And when Jacob understood this, he called the name of that place Peniel. And I think the other name that it was given was also Penuel, because the names basically mean the same thing. The face of God. For he said, I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been preserved. Now Jacob saw God and he didn't want to forget it, so he named the place Peniel, so that he would remember his wrestling with the angel. It would be kind of a hard thing to forget. But I think also so his children would remember, this is the place I wrestled with God. Now you know, the Lord told Moses in the scriptures that no one could see his face and live. But yet Jacob did. And others also did in the Bible. Now this is probably for two reasons. For one, Jacob did not see God in his essence. He didn't see him with all of his glory revealed. It was veiled in the appearance of a man in a human form. But I think it was also because of God's mercy to Jacob, and the fact that he was soon to show mercy not only to Jacob, but to all of his chosen race. We have to remember that in just a short while, this same divine being, this same God, would veil himself in human flesh and walk among his own people, and yet none of them would be killed because of his mercy and grace. Jacob saw God face to face in the face of his son, but his life was preserved because of God's covenant mercy. And that's why he named that place Peniel. But Jacob also had another memorial of his encounter with God besides the change of his name, and that was his limp, remember? The angel, or I should say the Lord, reached down and touched his thigh and dislocated it from his hip. And that's something that the Jews never forgot. As a matter of fact, we're told in verse 32 by Moses, therefore to this day the sons of Israel do not eat the sinew of the hip, which is on the socket of the thigh, because he touched the socket of Jacob's thigh in the sinew of the hip. Jacob didn't want to forget God's mercy to him, and he didn't want also the people of God to forget it. But the people of God didn't want to forget also the mercy that God showed to their forefather, and so they honored what happened to Jacob by not eating that particular part of the animal. Now obviously this should teach us as well that we should never forget God's covenant mercies to us that he gives to us in Christ. But remember the gracious acts of the Lord, both in saving us and in mercifully answering our prayers. It really shows very little gratitude on our part if we forget quite quickly and easily what God does for us. We shouldn't forget. We should remember, perhaps even set up some kind of memorial to remember what the Lord has done. God has visited us here. God has shown us his covenant mercies, for which we ought to be eternally thankful. But you know, there's one more thing that I think we can use to encourage ourselves with in this passage, and perhaps it doesn't fit in with the other points, but it does the main thing. I don't know if this question has occurred to you, but obviously it should have while we've been reading this passage, and that is this. That if the man that Jacob wrestled with was God, why did it take God so long to shake free of Jacob's grasp? Why didn't he just sort of throw him away, pin him on the ground, get rid of him? Well, I think you know what the answer is. God didn't want Jacob to let go of him. God wanted him to continue to wrestle with him, because God had put that spirit within Jacob to wrestle with him until he received the promise. As I've said at the beginning, that's really what the theme of the message is. When God wants to bless us, He will put a spirit of prayer within us that will give us the strength to wrestle with Him until we receive what He promised to give us. God wanted to give Jacob this blessing. He wanted Jacob to be kept safe from Esau so that Messiah could come through his loins. And so the Lord gave him the strength to persevere until he received that promise. Now, how are we going to find the strength that we need to wrestle with God and prevail? It will only come in exactly the same way. If the Lord wants to accomplish His work through us, He will send the Spirit of His Son into our hearts to give us the strength to wrestle with Him in prayer until we obtain the promise through Jesus Christ. Now, this should be an encouragement to us that when we pray according to God's will, when the Lord lays it upon our heart to seek His face, we will receive what God has promised, because it is God who has given us the will to pray and the one who gives us the strength to endure until He answers. Well, may the Lord grant to us encouragement through this passage to know His will more, to know what the promises of God are, and to seek to be filled with His Spirit more, so that He might use us to accomplish His will through prayer. You see, God has ordained that He's going to bring His kingdom, and His Son is going to have all for whom He died. Everything in God's plan is going to take place, but one of the ways by which He has ordained that it would is through prayer. And so prayer is very important. Let us be encouraged to wrestle with God in our prayers until we see the answers to these promises, because this is what God has ordained. He is the one who lays it on our hearts. He is the one who strengthens us, and He will answer us for that very reason. Amen.